Thanks for tuning in for the February 22nd podcast. I'm Jose Merino, Editor-in-Chief of the Neurology Family of Journals. In this week's featured interview, Dr. Emanuela Voinescu discusses seizure frequency during pregnancy and postpartum and how it is affected by epilepsy diagnosis, seizure location, and anti-seizure medication use.
Hello, this is Hallie Alexander with the Neurology Podcast. Today I'm speaking with Emanuela Voinescu from Brigham and Women's Hospital about her research on seizure frequency during pregnancy in women with epilepsy, which is now available in neurology. The paper is titled Variations in Seizure Frequency During Pregnancy and Postpartum by Epilepsy Type. Emma, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So your study looked at changes in seizure frequency in women with epilepsy, both during pregnancy and during the postpartum period. So just right off the bat, can you tell us what you found? Did you see that there was a difference in seizure frequency during pregnancy? And did that vary at all based on seizure type or other aspects of the epilepsy?
So that is exactly what we found. But I do want to say that similar to prior studies, we do find that the majority of women with epilepsy have stable seizure frequency during pregnancy and postpartum. And really the motivation for this study was the observation that despite their best efforts, there's still, albeit a smaller number, of women who experience an increase in their seizure frequency. And we know very little about how the epilepsy type, medication, their prior seizure frequency may influence their seizure frequency during pregnancy and postpartum. So I looked at a cohort of over 100 pregnancies followed prospectively here at our institution by two physicians, myself and Dr. Pennell, who's the senior author, over the course of 5 years. And we found that pregnancies of women with focal versus those of women with generalized epilepsy are at a higher risk of having seizure worsening. And the numbers are 21% for the focal ones and 5% or so for the generalized epilepsy ones. And perhaps that wasn't that different from what other studies have reported before. We did look at the postpartum period, which is something that has been less reported. And at that time, we find that the percentage of women with focal epilepsy is going down, and it's about 11%. And those with generalized, it was about 9%. Really no significant difference postpartum between generalized and focal epilepsy. But I think the major finding is that among patients with focal epilepsy, those with frontal lobe epilepsy did significantly worse. And really going back to those percentages, I was saying that 21% of women with focal epilepsy had seizure worsening in pregnancy. But really those with a focal epilepsy other than frontal, only about 11%, 12% of them had seizure worsening, while about 53% of those with frontal lobe epilepsy experienced seizure worsening during pregnancy. That's an odds ratio of 8, so significantly higher seizure worsening in women with frontal epilepsy. And other things we noticed, and these have been reported, is that seizure freedom in the preconception year is a good thing, and the lack of seizure freedom in the preconception year was associated with an increased seizure frequency during pregnancy with an odds ratio over 6. And polytherapy, again, carried a higher risk of seizure worsening with an odds ratio of 8, similar to what we noticed for frontal lobe epilepsy. So this was a whirlwind through my study findings.
No, thanks for all that information. I'll just summarize quickly then that you found that focal epilepsy had a higher tendency to have increased seizure frequency during pregnancy compared to generalized epilepsy, but specifically frontal lobe epilepsy really is what drove those numbers up, as they had a odds ratio of 8 in terms of their risk for seizure increase during pregnancy, and you even controlled for seizure freedom in the pre-pregnancy period and polytherapy, and that relationship was still significant. So in light of these results from your study, how do you counsel epilepsy patients now about pregnancy and seizure frequency? What are the things they need to know?
we do now know that frontal lobe epilepsy patients are at a higher risk of having an increase in their seizures during pregnancy. And because of that, I do counsel them to let me know right away if they notice any change in their seizure pattern. I do think that they need closer clinical monitoring during pregnancy. But overall, for all patients, my study, similar to others, I think is an example of the fact that therapeutic drug monitoring, really keeping a close eye on the patient's anti-seizure medication concentration, is extremely important. And throughout their pregnancy, for the patients in the cohort included in this study, and for their postpartum period as well, we did monitor them closely with therapeutic drug monitoring and adjusted their medication dose to compensate for pregnancy-related clearance changes. And I do think that that is why we successfully managed to keep seizure frequency stable in the majority of patients. But as I said, despite our best efforts, and despite their best efforts, because this is really a very compliant group that we included in this study, patients with frontal lobe epilepsy, half of them had seizure worsening. So moving forward, I am making sure that for my patients with frontal lobe epilepsy, I do warn them of a potential for seizure worsening and of a need to stay in touch and to report to me any change in the intensity or frequency of their seizures during pregnancy.
Great. And that makes a lot of sense based on these results. But of course, there is that proportion of people with frontal lobe epilepsy who may not have seizure worsening. So is there anything different that you recommend that we might do management-wise when we're caring for our pregnant patients with focal or generalized epilepsy based on these results? And basically, I'm thinking, is there any role here for empirically increasing anti-seizure medications in the frontal lobe patients, just kind of knowing that they have this higher risk of seizure breakthrough?
I would say no. I would not necessarily do anything different for my patients with frontal lobe epilepsy, because as you said, half of them may not experience an increase in their seizure frequency. So I would not empirically increase anti-seizure medications, because we know from data collected in our big pregnancy registries that there is a dose-dependent risk for many of the anti-seizure medications we use in terms of birth defects. And emerging data from MONID shows that the neurodevelopmental scores of children exposed to different anti-seizure medications may trend down with higher concentration for many of our anti-seizure medications. Therefore, I do still tend to keep them at a concentration that I determine preconception to be optimal for them and manage them all the same, being more careful for those with frontal lobe epilepsy to be in touch with them clinically more often and to make them aware to notify me any change in seizure pattern, case in which I may indeed be inclined to either increase medication doses or add another medication, but not until they report seizure worsening to me.
Yeah, and thanks for making that point that, you know, even with this information of the risk of increased seizures during pregnancy, we still want to keep in mind that we don't want to be increasing medications in pregnant women unless we absolutely need to, because as you brought up, of these teratogenic and developmental risks. One question I thought of too that we didn't touch on yet is, you know, in this study, you did not have a control group to look at their change in seizure frequency in non-pregnant patients. So I guess that means we should take this information with a grain of salt too. We don't know, because of the fluctuating nature of epilepsy, if these numbers, you know, how these compare to non-pregnant patients, whether they would have an increase as well. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's an excellent observation. You're right. We did not include a control group, and this is entirely a cohort of women with epilepsy followed throughout pregnancy and postpartum. The MONID study, where the senior author of the study, Dr. Pennell, who's my mentor, is co-PI of, did report last year on the seizure frequency in a cohort of pregnant patients followed through pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond, and another cohort of non-pregnant patients followed through a similar period of time. And they really did not see a difference between patients with a stable seizure frequency versus patients who had seizure worsening or improvement in their seizure frequency. And that's important. But I do want to say that the number of pregnancies with seizure worsening is very similar in both of these studies. They reported, I believe, about 24%. There is about 21% of patients with seizure worsening among our focal epilepsy group. So that's reassuring. Our data does align with theirs. And as opposed to that study that looked at different seizure types, we looked at different epilepsy types. So they didn't report a difference for seizure types, but they didn't specifically ask the question about epilepsy type. I also want to point out another study that I came across recently that was published at the end of last year by an Italian group led by Dr. Barbara Mustacci, who reports that seizure worsening happens in pregnancy in women with what they call sleep-related hypermotor epilepsy. When we hear that, epileptologists, I think, will agree that those are focal epilepsy patients. And I think it's fascinating that their numbers are very similar to ours. They also had a few more than 100 pregnancies. And amongst those pregnancies with, again, what they call sleep-related hypermotor epilepsy, 54% as opposed to our 53% of patients had seizure worsening. So while our numbers are small and theirs are small, and you're right, we may not have the control, I do think that there's an indication here that focal frontal lobe epilepsy behaves differently in pregnancy. And this definitely needs to be validated by larger studies and hopefully studies that will tell us what are the driving factors in this particular category of patients.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It does seem like there is, you know, with all this data that you've nicely summarized, that there is something here about these frontal lobe epilepsy patients. So thank you for uncovering this with your research. And I will refer our listeners to the full-length podcast interview that we did with Paige Pennell on the study that you are referencing. Our listeners can find that podcast interview in our March 29th episode of the Neurology Podcast. So thanks for bringing that up. Now, caring for pregnant patients obviously is such an important, delicate process. There's kind of a lot on the line. So before we go, I would love to just hear what other pearls you have for our listeners about how to counsel and manage pregnant people with epilepsy.
There would be so much to be said, but I think the major points, if I was to choose three of them, would be, one is that planned pregnancy is key because the physician has the time to optimize the patient's anti-seizure regimen for the best pregnancy outcomes, and the patient has the time to gather all the information, understands the benefits and risks of the medications, the risk of seizure. And they're really key partners in ensuring a better pregnancy outcomes through their compliance with medical advice and follow-up. The second, I would say, I'm a big believer of therapeutic drug monitoring, and we now have so much data on pregnancy-related changes in medication clearance. I do think that it's really important to monitor patients with serum levels of their medications and adjust the doses adequately to maintain a preconception concentration that we determine to keep them safe. And I really think that that's why these more recent studies have a lower number of patients that experience seizure worsening compared to studies from several years ago. And finally, I do think that it's essential that the provider knows their patient and their patient's epilepsy very well, because despite our best efforts, as my study shows, sometimes things may not go in the right direction, and we do need to research more and understand more about what seizures and pregnancy, but having a good relation with the patient and knowing a lot about their epilepsy going into pregnancy is important.
And I'm glad you brought up the therapeutic drug monitoring, because it made me realize a point that I've kind of changed about my practice recently is making sure that I have a pre-pregnancy level on all my women of childbearing age, even if pregnancy is not in their plans, because a lot of times it can be unplanned. So that can help to have that level to target when pregnancy arises. So again, I've been speaking today with Emma Voinescu about her recent article in Neurology titled Variations in Seizure Frequency During Pregnancy and Postpartum by Epilepsy Type. Please check out the paper in this week's issue of Neurology. Emma, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Jose Merino. Please remember that we offer free CME for each Tuesday podcast. Simply find the Neurology Podcast episode online and click on the CME quiz link. We offer up to 60 hours of CME for past shows and all are available online. It's free for AAN members. Be sure to check out this week's journal, which includes an article examining the association between COVID-19 and the risk of acute ischemic stroke, as well as a feature contemporary issues in practice, education and research article exploring strategies to generate more interest in neurology among undergraduate neuroscience students. Thank you again for listening and have a great week.
The views and opinions of the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the journal Neurology or the AAN. Disclosures of the participants are included in the show descriptions, reached by a link on the neurology.org website.